Okay, wow. This is so nice to see everybody. I want to try. We don't have so much time, so, and I apologize, we don't have no source sheets, everybody. I want to just talk in a very real way about something that we can take with us for what's going to be the most important day of our lives. Rosh Hashanah is the most important day. And to put ourselves in the right frame of mind and to really put into a context to try to understand a little better what we could do in advance to prepare for this. It's kind of hard. It's a little bit overwhelming to visualize that everything that's about to happen over the next year is going to be determined on Rosh Hashanah. It's overwhelming. So the Peleoid says, instead of thinking about the upcoming year, take a step back and look over what happened the last 12 months. Think about all the events that happened in your personal life, in your communities, in the world. The fact that Russia invaded Ukraine, that was all determined, right, last year on Rosh Hashanah. So much is at stake, and it behooves us to be prepared. Now, one of the most powerful tefillos that said both on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the Unasana Tokef. It's a part of the tefillah which really highlights the importance of the day, the holiness of the day. And I have a confession. I was telling people earlier, I can't really remember the last time when I've actually said this tefillah. In my shul, I instruct them not to wait for me. I like to daven, I don't want to feel rushed, so I'm usually in the middle of my Shemona Esrei. But when they get to an Asana Tokef, I hear the people crying, and it's a very powerful, emotional tefillah. But I want to be, before we get the actual tefillah, let's start with it. Again, sorry for not the source sheets, but I promise you I'm not going to lie to anybody today. I'll read it straight. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Kol boy olam oivrim lefana b'nei kemorom. Everybody passes in front of you, Hashem, all of mankind. They pass in front of you like kivinei moron. And the Gemara says, what does that word mean? Ma'i kivinei moron. What does it mean? So the Gemara gives three possibilities as to what exactly, how do you translate these words we're passing. Again, and this is not Jew versus non-Jew. Every single human being, kol bo'e ha'olam, 7+ billion people, are going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. So the first interpretation means we're passing you, hachi tagimu kivinei im rona, like sheep. We see this idea of like a sheep, and they're counted, you know, that the shepherd has his thing, he's looking at each one. So that's one, the first idea. Reish Lakish Omer, second interpretation, is what these words mean, kematlos beis moron. Like the high mountain, very narrow, thin road, path on a mountain, you have to walk single file, because it's not enough for people to walk side by side. That's the second interpretation. The third one, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Kachelos Shel Beis David, like a soldier in King David's army. So three interpretations, and at first glance, you know, it sounds like they're all basically saying the same thing. There's no group safety in this one. We're not going in as a whole group, and then, you know, okay, where each one of us is going to pass and be scrutinized and be analyzed and be judged and written by ourselves. Like a sheep, like a mountain road, like a soldier. First glance, sounds like it's all the same concept, just three different images. Comes along the Marashah, who lives in the 1600s in Poland, and he says, no. These are three different categories. The sheep represent people who are Rishoyim. And just like a sheep goes directly to the slaughterhouse, they're Rishoyim. The second category on a thin, narrow mountain road, those are not Rishoyim, those are the Beinonim. A Beinoni is someone who's 50-50, literally mamish, right in the middle. Can't go too far this way, can't go this way. It's like a tightrope. You're very narrow how you're walking. The sheep, the Rishoyim, the mountain, thin mountain road, that's the Beinonim, and the soldiers? Soldiers are the Tzaddikim. We know in Chumash, from Chumash Devarim, that the Kohen used to give a speech. Anybody who's about to go out to war and you have a veros, turn around. Only tzaddik can serve in a Jewish army. So the soldiers in David's army were all tzaddikim. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. Yes, everyone's judged, but what category are we going to go into? We're going to go into the Rishayim, the Beinim, the tzaddikim. That's how the Marsha understands it. But I'd like to suggest perhaps a different, an alternative way of understanding this. So let's talk for a minute. What events in the Chumash do we know happened on Rosh Hashanah? You can think of an idea that something happened in the Chumash story. Yeah?
Bria Sa'olam.
Perfect, right? Bria Sa'olam, the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. We go back, we figure out tonight is going to be the 25th of Elul. Right? Tonight, after Shkia, we'll turn to the 25th of Elul. So that's day number one. So day number two is 26, 27, 28, 29. There are always 29 days in Elul. So day number six of creation is Aleph Tishrei, is the creation of the world. So on Rosh Hashanah, when Adam and Chava were created. Good. Another event in the Chumash that happened, I'll give you a hint, it's one of the days of the Kriya Satorah. Something we read about in the Kriya Satorah on Rosh Hashanah happened. Kedus Yitzchak, right? Second day of the Kriya Satorah, Avraham brings Yitzchak as a korban. We know the story. That happens also in Rosh Hashanah. The third one, there's more, but the third one I want to talk about, it's kind of hard, so I don't think you can guess it. Noach came out of the Teva on Rosh Hashanah. And that beautiful imagery of, you know, of a brand new world, you know, a fresh start, a new beginning. That's a theme of Rosh Hashanah, that there's no baggage from the last year. Everything is brand new. It's wide open. The brand new books. We're going to decide what we're going to be written in for on this new year. So if we analyze these three stories, we'll find that there's a deeper idea that emerges. Noach. Noach brings korbanos. What else does Noach do after he gets out of the teva? What does he do? Plants a vineyard and gets drunk. People in life sometimes don't want to deal with pain. So they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to other escapisms, other things to make themselves numb. Like a sheep. A sheep is clueless. They just walk around, you know, they have no idea the big picture in life. There are certain people who just choose to go through their year as being clueless, like a sheep. With Autumn was judged. The Gemara tells us like an hour by hour, play by play, what happened to Autumn on that day when he was created. Hashem got the earth together and he blew into his neshama into him, and Autumn sinned and he was judged. After Autumn was kicked out of Gan Eden, the Gemara tells us that he separated from his wife Chava for 130 years. No kids, no intimacy, nothing. They were completely separate. Autumn represents the type of personality of a person who's just unsure, not settled down, vulnerable, anxiety, confusion. That's like the mountain. That's like walking on that mountain road. You're not sure, one step this way, one step that way. I'm not clear. Where am I going in life? And the third personality is the model of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he went to Kedus Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah, he went like a soldier. With a clear sense of purpose, a clear mission. He knew exactly what Hashem wanted, and he was committed to doing that. So these three different people, Noach is like the sheep. Adam is like the people walking on that mountain road. And Avraham is like a soldier. And I'm suggesting that perhaps, based upon this Gemara, that we judge Kivnei Moron, we decide how we want to appear before Hashem. It's not three ways of saying the same idea. It's three different models, three different personalities, three different approaches to the Yom HaDin. Are we going to choose, Hashem, give me a year where I'm just numb, like a sheep, just getting slept around, knocked around back and forth, not connected, not invested, not being mindful of what my responsibilities are? Am I going to have a year of anxiety, nervousness, scared, not being settled, bouncing around, unsure, like a person walking on a very tight rope? Mountain, or perhaps I'm going to choose to be like a soldier. Understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you kept me here for a reason. There's obviously something that you want me to do, and the proof is you woke me up this morning. Moda Ani, please give me a year where I can accomplish, where I can do things, where I can make a Nachas Ruach for you, Hashem, my King. And this phrase, this Gemara, comes into an Asana Tokef. And again, my apologies that we don't have the source sheets. I'm going to read it, and I promise not to mistranslate. Unasana Tokef Kedusha Sayom. The tefillah begins. Let's begin and talk about the power. I'll read the art scroll. The power of this day's holiness. Because Hunor of Oyum, it's a day that's awesome and frightening. Uvotinase Malchusecha, your kingship is exalted. Vayikom b'chesek hisecha, your throne is firm with kindness. V'teishev alav be'emes, you sit on it in truth. Emes ki ata hu dayan al mochiach, you alone the one who judges. Yodeh v'ed, v'kosev v'chosem, you know everything, you write and you seal. V'tizko kol nishkachos, and you remember everything that was forgotten. V'tiftach yat at sefer hazichronos, you open up the book, u'me'elav yikarein, it reads by itself. V'chosim yad kol adam bo, because we've all written it. All of our actions that we did, we wrote our own biographies. And all the things we thought were forgotten, all the text messages and the WhatsApp and everything we thought were forgotten, and the emails and everything we did, and all the words we said, and all the places we went. I shouldn't forget any of that. It's all there in the book. And really, continues about the shofar that's blown, that's the theme of the day. Unasana Tokef really encapsulates on a micro level the three big themes. Hashem is our melech. Hashem remembers everything. Shofros, it's all here. It's all in the tefillah. And then, I'm going to skip a little bit down, it quotes directly from the Gemara, V'chol boy olam, and every single, all of mankind, Jew and non-Jew, Ya'avun lefanecha kivnei morum, passes before you. They'd chant like a flock. Okay, that's fine. Akaras roe edro, like a shepherd inspects it, Ma'avir tzono tacha shivto kach, Santu kain ta'avir, V'tispor v'timne. So too, we're counted, we're calculated. V'tifkod nefesh kol chai, you remember the tafkid, the purpose of every single human being, the tachto kitzvo lechobriosecha, and you give the apportioned thing to all of your creations, the tichtov es gezar dinam, and you write down what's going to be. This is a powerful prayer. This is really the essence of what the whole day is about. And then the chazan says, teshuvo, tefilu, tzedaka, ma'avir, nezroha, gezera. That whatever was written is not sealed. We could do tshuva, we could daven, we could give tzedakah. Does anybody know the background, the history behind how this tefillah Unasan Tokef got actually put into the Machzor? Have you heard the story? Yeah? Good. Well, not good. They got his arms and legs cut off. But yeah, okay. So that is the familiar version that we have. It's recorded. The first place we have it recorded in the is in the Or Zarua. Or Zarua is in Italy, 1200 to 1270. So we're going back about 800 years. And he writes this story that he didn't do. He says, this happened about 100 years ago. There was a Rabbi Amnon who was living in Germany during the times of the Crusades. Now, there wasn't just one crusade. There was a series, first crusade, second crusade, third, fourth. And their job was, their mission was to convert as many Jews as they could. So this Reb Amnon was a leader in the community. And they tried to pressure him. He says, I'm not doing it. And then in an effort, not because he was actually seriously considering, but just an effort to stall and get them off his back, he said, come back in 3 days. And then after they left, he said, oh my goodness, what did I just do? I gave the impression that I was even considering it. There was a havamin I would ever convert. And he was so upset and refused to go when they summoned him. So finally they brought him to the archbishop. And he himself says, I'm going to tell you what my punishment should be. Like you said, Essie, my tongue which spoke should be cut off. And I said, no, your tongue spoke correctly. Your tongue said you consider Christianity? Your tongue's fine. I'm going to cut off your legs. Your legs is with the Avera. Your legs didn't bring you to me. So in graphic, gruesome detail, it goes through and describes they cut off his legs and his fingers one by one and asked him, will you convert? He said, no. Cut the next finger. Will you convert? No. And there he was, a body mutilated. And it says they put it on a magain, a shield, and they took his body with all the parts and sent him home. He asked for his, he could no longer walk, obviously. They asked to be brought to the shul on Rosh Hashanah, and he made a Kiddush Hashem, and they died shortly after. 3 days later, this Reb Amnon, Germany, appears to a Reb Kolonimus in a dream and says, I want you to put Unasana Tokef as part of the Siddur. So it sounds like at first glance, that's where the story comes from. There's this guy, Reb Amnon, appears to Reb Kolonimus in Germany, and that's where he comes from. But really, scholars have pointed out the name Amnon and Clonimus are not German names, they're Italian names. That this story really did not take place in Germany. And the scholars done even more research and found, you guys know what a Geniza is? Yeah, what?
It's like a place for
Exactly. Something goes into what we call shamus, right? They put it into a thing. So they went back and they found 500 years before the Crusades in Eretz Yisrael, that's really the earliest version we have of Unasana Tokef. So even though, and if you look really precisely the way the Orzeru tells the story, it doesn't say he wrote this down, it says Yasad, a Yasod is a foundation. He put it in there, but it's something that existed for 500 years before that, 500 years before the Crusades. But that's how it got into people think, you know, that it just, that was written that time. It really is actually predates it by hundreds and hundreds of years. Originally, it was only set up to be on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But then, it's a powerful deal. They put it on the second day. And then since it talks about not only being judged, but about being sealed, so it goes to the first day of Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, and by the 15th, 16th centuries, it's already in all the Machzorim, both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have a very special chesed. I'll end with this. Two things that we can think about. First of all, is the day that we're being judged. Every day in the calendar has an energy to it, a power, a koach to it. And it's not just when we celebrate a Jewish holiday that we know, by the way, we're just reminding ourselves what happened. That by the way, it happened to be on the 15th of Nisan, the Jewish people got out of Mitzrayim. So we'll make a Seder, we'll celebrate it. Every year when they get back to that day on the calendar, that energy, that Yetzias Mitzrayim comes back, and we leave Mitzrayim again on that day. On Shavuos, it's not just, oh, by the way, 3,334 years ago, we got the Torah. We get the Torah brand new again every year on Vav Sivan. So what's the energy of the first day of Tishrei? It's the day when Adam was judged and he wasn't punished. It's a chesed that we're being judged. So the first thing we have to think about is that we're being judged on a very special day. And the second thing to take with us is that we know we're being judged. This is not just a Jewish holiday. This is a universal theme. The whole world. The graphic details that it discusses, this is on every single human being, but we know we're being judged. Baruch Hashem, with such a chesed that Hashem tells us, this is the Yom HaDin. You can prepare for this. We have a week now. We can open up a machzor beforehand, not just we walking into shul. I know there's so much busy, we've got commitments and we're so things, but try your best to open up the machzor before you get to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So it hasn't been a year since you saw it the last time. And think about, I want to prepare myself. Billions of people will spend this next Monday and Tuesday binging on Netflix. They'll get the little Diet Coke, they'll get the Pringles potato chips, and they're being judged in Shemayim and they're clueless. Like a sheep. We don't want to be sheep. We don't even want to be like Narrow Mountain Road. HaKadosh Baruch is giving us a gift that we can walk into Rosh Hashanah. We're nervous because it is the Yom HaDin, but we also have a simcha. We have a simcha that HaKadosh Baruch is judging us. In the Torah, it brings down the person's supposed to get a haircut, wear nice clothing, because we're confident. We're confident in our judgment. Hashem should bless all of us with a kesiva, a chesima tova, a good kabench jor, only good things in physical, only good things in spirituality, and we should have a year of growth together. Thank you so much for coming, and I wish all you guys shana tova umisuka. You're welcome. God bless. God bless. God bless.